session number 19656, Reel 1.
Captain Hammond, Reel 1, where were you born, please?
I was born in the village of Healing, Lincolnshire.
Which year was this?
April the 16th, 1914.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in the Healing area?
Yes, I did indeed. I attended the village school until the age of 12, and then I went to St. James's Choir School in Grimsby.
How old were you when you finished there?
14 years old.
So that was 1928?
That is correct, that is 1928.
Then what did you do?
I went to the Grimsby Marine School for 3 months or so. And at that time, the Hartlepool Company, Ropeners of West Hartlepool, applied to the Marine School for cadets or apprentices. And I was apprenticed to the Poole Shipping Company, West Hartlepool, at the tender age of 14 years and 3 months. And I joined my first ship, the Stonepool, on July the 9th, 1928.
What kind of a ship was Stonepool?
She was a freighter. A brand new freighter. She was being built at Smith's Dock in Middlesbrough, where I joined her.
And she belonged to Ropeners?
Ropeners of West Hartlepool.
What were they like to work for?
Well, they were a tramp shipping company, and as such, there isn't a port in the world that they didn't go to, and it was quite a hard life. In point of fact, I think when we left Middlesbrough, we proceeded, I think, I know we did, to unloaded coal for Genoa. And after leaving Genoa, we went across to the States. But after leaving Genoa, I was put on watch and watch, which means 4 hours on and 4 hours off. And in fact, I was taking the wheel for 2 hours and look out for an hour for at that time, you know.
In what specific ways was it a hard life?
Well, you had to work hard. You weren't taught very much. What do you want as far as navigation goes? You were taught absolutely nothing. It was left to your own initiative, if you put it that way. And the there was an awful lot of work to do on a freighter.
You mean cleaning work?
Oh, cleaning. We scraped the decks and oiled the decks, and we'd chip rust, and we did everything that had to be done on board a tramp ship of that time.
How were apprentices regarded?
Regarded? Cheap labour. I think cheap labour.
Were you away from home for long periods?
Oh, indeed, yes. The average voyage was 4 months or so, and so it went on.
How did it suit you being away from home for so long?
Well, I was so young, really, that it became a way of life. And one really soon, you soon acquire a sort of the way of life that you live. The food was adequate, and we had our good times.
What did they consist of?
Consist of mainly when one was ashore in all the ports of the world, there were these flying angel missions, and they were superlative for, you know, people like me, and they looked after us and entertained us when we were in the ports, and particularly as we particularly in South America, we used to go very often to the River Plate, and Buenos Aires was the main sort of loading port, and we had there was a mission there which was very famous, and there was quite a large population of British there too. I think the people that were sent out or went out there and created the railway and this, that and t'other there, all sort of, yeah, met us and entertained us and looked after us.
What facilities did the Flying Angel provide for you?
They provided a place to go to. Well, you met people, and they had entertainments, and the Flying Angel in Buenos Aires, there was a very famous padre there who was very interested in boxing, and he would go in the ring himself with some of these tough firemen and whatever, and teach them a boxing lesson. And of course, he encouraged everybody to, you know, the noble art.
What was his name?
Forget it at the moment, but I've got a note of it somewhere.
Was he Church of England? Or?
Church of England, yes. Church of England.
Was the Flying Angel a religious mission?
A religious mission, yes.
Did you ever get into trouble in any of these ports?
No, not really. I know on one time I was there where he came around the docks, and I was about 17 at the time, and he said, "Any fighting men aboard your ship?" And I was painting at the side over the side at the time. I said, "I'll take on any other apprentice in Buenos Aires." So he said, "You're on." And when I got there, I mean, of course, all the crew had heard this. Now, as I say, I was 17 at the time, quite big and strong. I'd been 3 years at sea anyway. And I went they forced me to go in there anyway, and of course when we got there, well, he said all the other apprentices around the ships are not taking you on. He said they heard about this tough apprentice and ropeness. He said, "But I've got just a chap for you," and he had. It was a chap from a German ship. He was a German. About 3 or 4 years older than me, too. Anyway, it was three rounds. So I got in the ring with him, with big boxing gloves on. And he hit me so blooming hard, I can honestly see three of him. And anyway, I could dimly hear the carpenter in one of the front seats shouting, "Go on, young Hammond, give him one." And I gave him one. I knocked him down. And he got up and put his hands up to give in. But it was too late. I hit him again and knocked him clean out. And I was very pleased about that, because all the chaps was throwing the pesos into the ring. I think we finished up with about 15 pesos, at least I did. So the other apprentice and I sort of, I was actually sick afterwards because I'd been hit so hard. But we, with the 15 pesos, we went out and onto the into the farmyard bar. I think we drank a lot of beer and got ourselves pickled, but there you are. That was life. How's that one? True.
What was your next ship?
My next, well, I stayed in the stone pool for the whole of my 4 years apprenticeship. In point of fact, I finished my apprenticeship at sea, and I stayed on for another 2 months. And then I left stone pool to go home to study for my second mate certificate.
Was that difficult?
Very, because I was the age limit to sit for this certificate had been increased to 20, but I wasn't 20. That I'd sort of started serving my time before that regulation came in. I was exempt. Anyway, I went to the Marines. I started at the Marine School in South Shields and studied there for 4 months, 5 months. And I went up to Newcastle for my examination, which is difficult. It's a big examination, the second mate's, really. Anyway, it's in three stages: seamanship, and navigation, and whatever. Anyway, and signals. I passed the seamanship and the signals quite well and failed on the navigation, so I went back to school again. But on the second attempt, I passed. And I think I was 19 then, 19 and a bit. This, of course, was... took me into 1933. So I went home. My mother was living in Whitburn at the time, in near South Shields. I went home and eventually roped as I reported to them that I'd passed, and they eventually appointed me as third mate. There were now three mates on tramp ships because of regulation, of a ship called the Rugby, same as the Stone Pool, exactly the same. And we did exactly the same sort of voyages too. But of course, I was then, of course, an officer, so it was a bit different.
What kind of pay were officers receiving in those days?
Well, Let me see. I think as third mate I got £10, 12 and 9 pence a month. We were fed.
Could you save anything?
Just enough to survive on. Because in those days, you know, I mean, it was very difficult. Because it was in the middle of the Depression, and jobs were very hard to come by, and you had to watch your P's and Q's.
Was discipline strict?
Oh, yeah, indeed so. Indeed so, it was strict. The master of a ship, a tramp ship, was God. He really was. And there you go.
Were you ever punished yourself?
Oh, no. Well, not in the, you can't. I mean, no. No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, you're there as a third mate, really, to learn your trade. And I think I became a very good navigator. I did. And a very good general sort of ship's officer, because there's a lot to learn, because in the Merchant Navy, the cargoes are so varied, and you've got to know what you're doing all the time.
What were the most difficult cargoes?
Well, I think the most difficult. I think the most difficult cargo we had was rolls of paper from some pulp mill in Canada, where the bulk and the weight became, you know, you had to be, you were not down to your mark, but you were full. You couldn't put any more on because your M would become above great G, you know what I mean, metrosetic height, and you would become sort of top heavy or the other way around. I think that. And we had to be very, very careful with that cargo. It was for Glasgow, I remember. I think that was the most difficult. We had to be very careful loading it.
What were relations like with the dockers?
Usually very good. Except the Australians, of course, they were a law unto themselves.
In what sense?
Well, they always were, weren't they? Very much 9 to 5, not a minute before, not a minute after.
What happened to you next?
Oh, I finished my sea time on the Rugby, and then went home again. To sit my first officer's certificate. So, went home, and I went to the Swainson's Nautical Academy in Sunderland. But the work I'd done at the Marine School had stood me in good stead. And I just went up after 6 weeks at home and passed right away. That was very good. So, of course, that took me to 1936. So, I then had reported to Ropeman's again and Yes, I saw an advert in the paper about the Far East. So I applied and replied to the advert, and I got an appointment with the China Navigation Company. In Bilita Square, I think they were then.
Is that London?
London, yes. Swires. Butterfield and Swire. The company. And I went down to London and an appointment, and they accepted me. I went home and they said I would receive instructions in due course, and about, I think, 10 days later I got a letter from them with instructing me to proceed to Liverpool to join the Blue Funnel steamship Pyrrhus to go out to China. And that was in 1936, I suppose.
What was that voyage like to China?
It was interesting. I was a passenger. Very interesting. Very interesting. It was the first time I went through the Suez Canal, of course. She was on it was a Blue Funnel ship that carried about 12 passengers, and it was a very nice, gentle sort of trip out through the canal to Aden, then across to Colombo, to then to Kuala Lumpur, or the port for Kuala Lumpur, and Singapore, and Hong Kong, and then finally Shanghai.
What happened once you got to Shanghai?
Oh, when I got to Shanghai, of course, the company of their head office, one of their head offices is Shanghai, and I was disembarked, cleared through the customs by them, and sent across to Putong, I think it was the other side, to wait a ship coming in called the New Chuang. And when the New Chuang came in a couple of days later, I was appointed second officer of the New Chuang.
How do you spell it?
N-E-W-C-H-A-N-G. And she was a China coaster, of course.
What were conditions like in that ship?
Very different to what they wear in the Ropener ship. China Navigation Company is, I suppose, one of the best companies afloat. And as a China Nav officer, you had status. You had a lot of responsibility, and you had better pay, main thing. And it was a different, completely different sort of life, completely.
So it suited you better?
It did, indeed. Being a diamond, rough diamond, I was polished, put it that way.
How did the crews with these China Navigation Company ships compare with those of Ropner?
Very different, because they were different. They were Chinese. I mean, there were only six British officers on board a China Nav ship. The rest were Chinese.
What were they like to handle?
They could be handled, but they were very good. They were China Nav were very clever, I think, because they mixed their departments up. The Stewart, probably, were Cantonese. The sailors were maybe from North China, and the sailors and the firemen were from another province. So you had three factions, all speaking Chinese, but a different dialect, but all suspicious of each other, and so they told tales. So you always knew what was happening, or more or less did. So that was that.
How did you communicate with them? In English?
In English. In English. And the you know, the quartermaster spoke quite good English, or pidgin English, whatever. And one could make oneself understood, and one sort of acquired a little language anyway.
What kind of tales would they be telling?
Hmm?
What kind of tales would they tell?
Well, who was smuggling which? there was quite a bit going on, I can tell you.
What kind of things were smuggled?
Well, you know, I mean, the... I'll give you a little instance. I think we were in Amoy, that's right, yes, Amoy, and we'd left Shanghai. It was not the new Chuang, it was, I think, the Shantung, it was later afterwards. And this, they were looking for, the customs were really hot, and they reckoned there was some gold hidden on the ship. And they looked everywhere and they couldn't find it, or couldn't find some of it. And there was an old coolie sort of walking about, and in frustration, this customs bloke, you know, this coolie was saying, I know, he's got it, he's got it, whatever. Anyway, they eventually searched him, and he had two gold bars in his slippers, one in each slipper. There you go.
What happened to him?
Oh, they just took him off, I don't know. But old China days were so different. One didn't stay in a ship very long. You'd get to Hong Kong, and they were really short of officers anyway. So if your ship was going to be in, say, in Hong Kong for a fortnight, and say the Anshun or the Kwantung or whatever ship came through, and somebody had to be relieved, you got a shifting ship, and away you went on another ship. So you got a very varied aspect of the whole of the workings of all the trades. And the Anshun, for instance, was a ship I was in for quite a long time. She was a very nice ship, actually, and we used to carry the coolies for the rubber plantations of Malaya to from China to Singapore. I mean, there wasn't sort of 100 aboard; there were a couple of thousand deck cargo. They were all deck on deck, apart from the cargo. They were all deck cargo people. And of course, there was always incidents with people, and
what kind of incidents?